In the sugya that we studied last week, here in Chulin Daf Kufyu Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara analyzed a machlokas, shaklavataria, back and forth between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir with regard to Nesina Lager and Machira Leovid Kochavim, Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Dvarim Kiksavam, Rabbi Meir allowing for Mechira Ger, Nesina Lenochri. And we wanted to point out that this sugya that we have here in Chulin really finds its source, its original source, back in Psachim. And the Gemara there, in the second parak of Psachim, speaks about the machlokes regarding the drasha of Rabbi Avo from Nevela, that from the fact that the Torah had to be matir hana in Nevela by telling us that you're allowed to give it to a ger, you're allowed to sell it to a nochri. The implication is that lo sochlu, in and of itself, would have generated an isra hana as well. However, that would seem to work out only according to the sheet of Rabbi Meir here. Rabbi Avo must be standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Meir, who has an outright heter hana, which he derives here from the parasha of Nevela. Mashenkein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk is coming to teach me ger benesina lo de kochav b'mechira dafka, and therefore we need this pasuk not because the iser achila would have been mashma an iser hana as well. No, there would not have been an iser hana, but the Torah is coming to teach me that within the heter hana, there's certain dinim and certain kedimos. This is not, this pasuk of like ger asher b'sharecha tatenena, etc., is not coming to establish a heter hana. There would have been a heter hana because lo sochlu is mashmo liachila not hana. The pasuk is coming to teach you dvarim kiksavam, the laws that apply over here, that if you want to give it away, you give it away to a ger. If you opt to sell it under those circumstances, you sell it to a nochri. Now, Rabbi Meir's shita is that you're allowed to sell it or give it as a gift to whom you choose, to whom you want, whether it's a ger or a nochri. However, yesh mitzvah, there's a mitzvah kedima, if all things are ideal, to give it as a gift to a ger toshav. And that's what Rabbi Meir derives from the extra word o in this pasuk. So it means like ger asher b'sharecha tatenena, give it as a gift to a ger, and that's the ikar mitzvah if all things are equal. O, as a fallback position, if there's no possibility of giving it as a gift to a ger, there's no ger around, and you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah, then machol l'nochri. Now, here on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, there's a Tosfos Di Rav Maskil Ad, and Tosfos explains that even though, as a general rule, if a person wants to sell an object to a guy, he's not required to give it away as a gift to a ger toshav or even to Israel, who's an ani. However, there's a difference with regard to nevela in Eretz Yisrael. The nevela is not worth much. There aren't that many goyim there in the demand market to jack up the price of nevela. So therefore, since in any event the value in the market that'll get for nevela is somewhat limited, therefore the Torah says, use this opportunity, if possible, to be meitiv, to do something good for a ger toshav, and give it away. Now there are Rishonim who are bothered, since even according to Rabbi Meir, we need the pasuk to teach me a din of kedima, that Nesila L'ger Toshav takes precedence over Mechira L'Yakum, is then once again we don't have a drasha here for Rabbi Avo. Once the Gemara establishes that the pasuk does have a din of kedima. Now, a ger toshav is included in the pasuk at the end of Vayikra, v'chiyamuch, etc. Ger v'sosha v'chei imach, which teaches us that on a mitzvah lachyosa, that we have to make sure that he has sustenance. Now, with regard to Akum, that mitzvah doesn't apply. So therefore, if the Baal Hanavela has a choice in front of him, he should certainly choose to be makdim nesina, to give a gift gratis to a ger toshav, rather than sell it to a guy, because he now will fulfill the mitzvah lachyosa with regard to a ger toshav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not going to derive from the halach of kedima, but rather this extra word is coming to distinguish between ger toshav and ovid kochavim, to teach us that as far as ger, it's only nesina exclusively, and as far as akum, it's only mechira. In svara, Rabbi Meir agrees, but he believes that since the Torah writes lager asher b'shech tetenem mochal l'nachri, and we could read it in one flow, and that's going to teach us the din, the principle of Rabbi Avo, then there's room to understand that the Torah intends in this pasuk to equate nesina lager with mechira l'nachri, and therefore there would be no adifus one before the other. There's no preferential treatment here for the ger. Therefore, in order to avoid such a mistake, the Torah added the word to teach us that ger toshav, as far as nesina is concerned, is adifa. That's your first choice. For today's shiur, we're going to start on Kuf Tes Vov Amud Aleph. And let's see if we can remind ourselves of what we learned on Kuf Yudalad Amud Beis, and that was Rav Ashi. Minayin lebosa b'cholav sh'asa b'achila sh'nemar lo sochal kol to'eva kol sh'ti avti l'cha hareu bibal tocha. So the Torah wants us to stay away from this mixture of basa b'cholav. The Torah went as far as to say we're not allowed to cook basa b'cholav. And that means, according to Rav Ashi, that basa b'cholav is called to'eva. And we mentioned last week that this applies whether or not there was an avera done, there was an avera violated in the creation of basa b'cholav or not. Even if, let's say, a goy were to create basa b'cholav, nevertheless, the Torah is telling us it's a to'eva to have basa b'cholav. So that lav of lo sochal kol to'eva applies to basa b'cholav, and that's going to generate both an Isra Achila, and based on Rabbi Avo's principle, an Isra Hadar as well. And now the sugya is going to embark on an analysis of other cases that L'chora at first glance should fit into this pattern and this definition of Tiavti L'cha. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask about Shabbos and Kelayim and Chosen Pipara, Israel, a whole bunch of cases. So we're going to start today on Daf Kuf Tes Vav and Aleph with the case of Shabbos. So what happened? He cooked raw food on Shabbos. That's called Maaseh Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Li Tasru. The Gemara assumes in Masechta Shabbos that Maaseh Shabbos is only an Issur D'Rabbanan. The only exception to that rule is Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, but all the other Tanoim agree pe'echa that the Iser of Maisa Shabbos, if you cook on Shabbos, is only Durabana. Because we don't want you to get away with it. If you're going to eat the tavshil that you cooked on Shabbos, there'll be more of a temptation for you to violate the Shabbos. And there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about Shogeg, whether or not even in the case of Shogeg we should aser it or not. But in any event, one thing is clear, that according to almost all the Tanoim, with the exception of one Tana, it's universally accepted that the Torah did not prohibit Maisa Shabbos. So the Gemara says litasru here, right? That's the third word on your daf here. Maisa Shabbos should become asur. Why? Dahati avti lechahu. This could come under a similar case to basa v'chalav, which is called ti'avti l'cha. So Rashi says on the top here that kagod hamavashal b'shabbos litzeru b'achila l'kol Yisrael. Because we're not going to impose just a penalty on one person who did the act of cooking. But just like in Basa V'Cholav, we said that everyone is enjoined from eating the product of this Bishul, so too everyone should be enjoined from eating the product of this Bishul on Shabbos. So that's called L'chol Yisrael. Doha his harticha, I already gave you a lav, litavo, then you should reject it, meaning it should be repulsive in your eyes. So srachik, you're going to send it away. V'anan, t'nan, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos that says, "V'mezid lo yochal." Who, the one who actually did the cooking, if he did it deliberately, he's not allowed to eat it. Mishum knas. That's only a rabbinic penalty. Aval acherim ochlim, but others are allowed to eat. And yet, we said that in Basa B'Cholav, you're not allowed to eat the Basa B'Cholav because the Torah says, "Kol shetiavti lecha." That was Rav Ashi's position here on the Afkuf Yudalad Ovid Beis. So if we apply Rav Ashi's position, his principle, consistently, we should come to the conclusion that Maisa Shabbos is an Isur Doraisa under the law of Lo Tochal Kol Toeva, Kol Shetiavti Lecha Reu Bibal Tochal. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Kol, has an issue with what's called Sirus. If you castrate an animal, nobody says that the animal became Osur, and you can't shecht it and eat it. How is it different than Basa B'Cholav? And Tosus has a drasha here, that since the Torah says it's Osur L'Gavoa, that you can't take a castrated animal and use it on the Mizbeach, Michlal, we derive from that, the Lehejot Shori. Tosa says, V'im Tomer Tzorem Ozen Bechor Litzar, this Kedushas Bechor L'Mizbeach, he went ahead and he put a mum by cutting something under the ear. And again, according to this principle of Rav Ashi about Kol Shetiavti L'chon, it doesn't matter whether you violate an Isur or not, the result of that is Asur. And Tos once again has to invoke a drasha from Kodshim that Tishori Rachmona Kodshim Shehuimu Kitzvi Vayayal, the Torah says that you're allowed to eat a balas mum, an animal that's a balas mum. So therefore the Torah going out of its way to teach you that it's not a Dover Mituav. But Tosus consistently wants to apply the principle of Ashi unless he finds a Drasha Lahatir. And that's what the Gemara is going to do in the case of Shabbos. Omar Kra. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tisa, it says, Ushmartim es HaShabbos Ki Kodesh Hu Lachem. And what is the implication here of Kodesh Hi Lachem? Hi Kodesh V'ein Ma'aseha Kodesh. In other words, that we don't generate an Iser as a result of Ma'aseha, as a result of doing a Malach on Shabbos. Doing a Malach on Shabbos does not produce some sort of an Iser.
which would be called Kodesh. Kodesh, Kadesh Atzmecha, always means an Isur. And we reflect on Kedushas Yisrael, because Kedushas Yisrael has so many Isurim. But the word Kodesh means Isur in this context. And the Torah says that Shabbos is Kodesh, but Maaseh is not called Kodesh. Now, before we go on, I want to just point out here that when the Gemara raises this objection before the drush of Kodeshi Lachem, that Maisa Shabbos be Asur because the Tavshil was created through a Malacha, through a violation of Shabbos. And again, does the Gemara mean, let's say for example a guy would cook on Shabbos, does the Gemara have a Hava Mina that just like if a guy created Basa B'chol by cooking meat with milk and the product of that cooking is Asur, so too if a guy who's not enjoined from Shabbos would cook on Shabbos, the Tavshil should be Asur? So the Mefarshim point out that that's not so. The Gemara is only talking about Chil Shabbos, that if this cooked food was created as a result of Chil Shabbos, of an Avera, then it should be Asur. But the question is, if the Gemara is building in the Hava Mina on the Binyan Av of Bas B'chol, then in Bas B'chol we've already established a Kol Sheti Avtilcha applies even if there was no Avera, even if a guy would cook it, or a katan, or it fell. So we're going to have to be mechalik here between Bas B'chol and Shabbos in the Tavshel of cooking on Shabbos, even according to the Hava Mina of the Gemara. The Gemara, or even in the Hava Mina, was aware of the fact that there's a distinction here, that the Tavshil, in the case of Basa B'cholav, is Etzem To'eva. That itself is To'eva. The Torah doesn't want this entity called Basa B'cholav. As far as the Jewish community is concerned, this is a To'eva. And that's irregardless of or independent of the Avera, whether it was an Avera or there was not an Avera. But in Maisa Shabbos, the Torah doesn't say that a Tavshil in and of itself is To'eva. Why should the Tavshil be To'eva? What makes the Tavshil To'eva is the violation of the Isur Malach of Bishul. And therefore there was never a Hava Mina that in the case where a guy would cook on Shabbos, the Tavshil would be also. Let's go on in the Gemara and we'll see if we can begin to piece put together the piece of the puzzle. It says now, Choresh b'shar u'b'chamar. Right, the Torah says, Lo tachrosh b'shar b'chamar yachdov, in Parshas Ki Teitze. V'chein achosem pi para v'dosh. But the Torah says in that same parasha, Lo sachsom shar v'disho. Is li tasru. In other words, let's apply the principle of Rav Ashi that he applies to Basa B'chol to these two cases of Charisha B'shar V'chamar Yachdov and Chosin Piparo V'doshva Litzaru. There should be some sort of an Isur. Now, why do I use that phrase, some sort of an Isur, which sounds a little bit like ambiguity? And that's because of a Rashi, which we're going to get to later on, towards the bottom of the page, it's a long Rashi that starts with the words Lo Omra Torah. And Rashi's going to indicate that the Gemara never meant to raise a Hava, meaning that the Shar and the Chamar, which he used together to do the Harisha, should become Asurim. That you can't enjoy the benefit of the ox or the donkey if you shecht it and so forth. Or, for example, a Shar, an ox, in the case of Chasimas Disha. That was never an idea that crossed the mind of the Gemara. Rav Ashi, when he said that there's a din of Kol Shetiavti Lecha in the case of Basa B'cholav, he didn't mean to say that anything that an aver was done to it should become also because the aver was done to it, but rather he meant there's a product of the aver. If there's a product of the aver, that's called kol shetiavti l'cha. Clearly the shor and the chamor with which he plowed or worked the land or that he muzzled the cow or the shor, that's not a creation of a new entity here as far as the shor and the chamor is concerned. You can't say that the avera created some new toeva that didn't exist in the world before it. What was the havamina of the Gemara? The havamina of the Gemara was that the zroim, which grow as a result of this disha, or as a result of this, I shouldn't say disha because disha is not growing. Disha makes it more edible because it takes away the chaff and so forth. But let's take, for example, in the case of Harisha, there is zroim that can grow as a result of the fact that he prepared the karka. And how did he prepare the karka? Through an avera. So through this avera of Harisha, he created zroim. And those zroim should be awesome. But if you take a look at Tosis, Dibra Maskel Choresh B'Shor V'Chamor V'Chosim Pipar V'Dosh Po Litzeru Pirish HaShor V'Chamor. So at least at this point in Tosis, he understood the way Rashi thought in his Havmin, but completely rejected it, that the Gemara's Havmin was that the Shor and the Chamor themselves should become Osir. And why? Because the Aver was done with the Shor, with the Chamor, on the Shor, on the Chamor. He says, V'yesh svarim de garsi hashto. Okay, we didn't get to that yet. But I just wanted to point out to you that Tosa seems to understand that the Iser is in the Shor and the Chamor. Not like Rashi. Tosa later on, at the beginning of the wide lines, he says, V'yim tomer azroim ve'adisha, the produce themselves, litzeru. Right, because based on this pasuk, we should come to the conclusion that the zroim and the disha should be asur. We didn't see the pasuk yet, so that's coming around the bend. So Belineder will come back to this Tosfos later, but I wanted to show you that Tosfos is talking about the shor and the chamor itself, not like Rashi. So the Gemara answers with a kal v'chomer hashta uma shabbos the chamir. Shabbos is an isur. Is an Issa Skila. And yet, Ma'asev Mutarim, we derive from the Pasuk Kodesh Yilachem, that the Ma'asev Shabbos is Mutar, is Hani, in these cases like Harisha or Chasima, which are much more Kal if you compare them relative to Shabbos, because here there's a Chiv Malkus at the worst, but there's no Chiv Kari's, no Chiv Misa, is Lokolshke. Certainly the Heter that the Torah was Matir in the case of Maisa Shabbos should apply here. In other words, once the Torah revealed in the case of Shabbos that Maisa Shabbos is Mutter and it's excluded from the principle of Kol Sheti Avti Lecha, and this even though the cooking is what created the Tavshil, and it was a definite Maisa Avera, so let's dash in the Kal V'Chomer that certainly other Isurim which were violated, which are Averas Kalos relative to Shabbos, certainly would not generate the Isur of Tiavti L'cha. But now the obvious question is, so what do we do with Basa V'Cholov? You know, we the whole sugi, the thrust of the sugi is to defend Rav Ashi, who says that Basa V'Cholov is an Asur Bachil because Kol Shen Tiavti L'cha. So why not say, well, Kol Shen Tiavti L'cha Bas V'Chol is only an Issa Lav, it's an Avera Kala relative to Shabbos, which is an Issa Skila. And if in Skila the Torah is Matir, Masa Shabbos, even though the Tavshil is a result of the Issa of Bishal on Shabbos, then how much more so the Torah would be Matir and be Mekil in the case of Bas V'Chol? So here we have a Rashi. Rashi, again, three lines from the top, Rashi litzru, he said, Azroim v'adisha. Correct? Rashi doesn't think in the Havamina that there would be any Iser in the Shor or the Chamor. But let's focus now for a moment on Rashi, Dibra Maskel, Hani lo kolshke. Zakrashi have the boss of a chol, Lomrin Hai Kalvachom. We're not going to apply that Kalvachom to boss of a chol, as we saw in Ravashi. And why not? Doksiblo Sochal Koshati Afti Lcha. Okay, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat that which is tiavti lecha. And why not apply that to bas b'chol, to Maisa Shabbos? But we have a drasha. No, once that drasha tells me that we don't apply kol she tiavti lecha in Shabbos, then why should we apply kol she tiavti lecha in bas b'chol? Mistavra, Rashi presents the following smara. The Isur Dekra Ale Ka'amar, that when the Torah says Lo Sochel Kol To'eva, it has in mind Basa B'cholof. Why? To Achil To'eva Gufay, he's eating the To'eva itself. Aval Hai Lo Achil HaCharisha Atzma Ela Haba Mimena V'chosei V'doshem Nami Lav chasima gufei ka'ochel ma'isa ba al yod v'alfina mishabes te'ena ba mikocha kodesh. So Rashi differentiates between two categories. One category is to'eva gufa, and the other category is ba mikoach avera. So to'eva gufa applies in the case of bas b'cholov. But as far as all the other cases, including Harisha and Chasima, Disha with a Parachasuma and so forth, in all those cases, including Shabbos, it's Ba Al Yidei Avera. But it's not Gufa To'eva. Now, I understand what Rashi means in the cases of Harisha and Chasima, because there you certainly would agree that the Disha and the Zeraim are just Ba Mikach Avera. It's not that the Torah sees a To'eva in, let's say, the produce that resulted from this Harisha. There's nothing repulsive or objectionable about the produce that grew. In the case of Shabbos, I'm not sure what Rashi has in mind. Why not say that in the case of Shabbos, it's To'eva Gufa, that the Tavshil itself, which was created by way of an Avera of Bishul, is a To'eva? How is that different than Bas B'chol? Why is it that in Bas B'chol, Rashi applies the principle of To'eva Gufa, whereas in Maisa Shabbos, Rashi says it's Ba Mikoach Avera, but it's not To'eva Gufa? So the only thing I came up with, but maybe you guys could do better than that, is that whereas the Tavshil of Shabbos is also only in a very specific case, meaning in a scenario where you violated the Shabbos, but the Torah never says that a Tavshil of that sort is Asur Li'olam. Bas B'cholov is different because the Torah is saying that Bas B'cholov is always Asur. It's not a coincidence of Zman that if you did a cooking of meat and milk together on a certain day at a certain time, then Tiavti Lecha. It's always Tiavti Lecha. So that would indicate that it's To'eva Gufa. It's Bi'atzma a To'eva. But Shabbos is not Bi'atzma To'eva. You had raw food and now it's cooked food. That doesn't make it into To'eva. At best you could say it's Bar Mikach Avera, that the Tavshil was prepared and it was made edible as a result of Avera of Bishul B'Shabbos. So Rashi says that now Shabbos becomes the paradigm for any case of a Dover Abba Mikoach Avera. For example, if the Zeraim grew because he did a Harish of Shar V'Chamar Yachtov, if the Daish was edible because of the Chasima Sapara and the Disha with that Para, that's called Ba Mikoach Avera. That's exactly like the case of the Tavshil on Shabbos, which came as a result of an Avera. The fact that you did Meleches Bishul. That seems to be Rashi's Shita. Okay. So again, a Davar that was made and created Mikoach Avera, the paradigm of which is Shabbos, that's not going to be considered kol to'eva. However, something where the Torah says this mixture, this creation of yours, is always a to'eva under all circumstances, then it comes under the lav lo socho kol to'eva. And this, I believe, is going to give us the background for the next kasha of the Gemara, kloy zroim litzaru. When he takes two zroim and he plants them together and he violates the isur of kloy zroim, which is based on a pasuk sodelo tizra kilayim in Parshas Kedoshim, then we would say that under all circumstances, that which grew as a result of mixing two different zroim, that in itself is a toeva, that is kilayim. You've created an entity which under all circumstances is called a toeva. Hence, it's parallel to the case of basa b'chola. And the question is going to be, why is it that in the case of Kloy Zroim, despite its absolute similarity to Bas B'cholov, meaning that the Heftza is a To'eva, and it's not just that the Heftza came as a result of Al Yidei Avera, but rather the object itself is Metuav, why is it therefore that in the case of Basa B'cholov, we're going to say it's also because the object itself is Metuav. But in the case of Klal Yisroel, it's not called Metuav. Why not? It should certainly be Metuav. The combination of these two minim is no different than the combination of Basa B'cholov. So it's not just an Iser through the Maisa of Zriya, you know, when he put the two Zroim inside the ground, but rather the Isa is a result of the fact that he produced this climb, this combination. Now, remember we started Tosus Divra Maschil Choresh. And we were wondering about the following. Let's see if I can find. Oh. If you take a look towards the end of Tosfos, it's a very long Tosfos that has many, many parts to it. He says the following. After establishing the Girsa of Rashi, he says, Upirish, and Rashi interprets, this is about six lines before the end of the Tosfos, the Basa B'chol of Lo Amrin and Haikusha. That we're not going to ask the same question in Basa B'cholov, that maybe Basa B'cholov should be considered Kal vis-a-vis Shabbos, and if the Torah was Mata Shabbos, then Kolshke and the Torah would be Mata Basa B'cholov. Rashi says, the Mistavra, the Kolshe Tiavti Aleha Raminon Kro. In other words, the Pasuk itself is referring to Basa B'cholov. The Ka'achil To'eva Gufa. Aval Hai. But here, in the case of, let's say we'll talk about Harisha vis-a-vis the Zroim, or if we talk about a Bishal on Shabbos, that's not called Toeva Gufa. Lo Ochel Acharisha Atzma, Chenechosim Lav Chasima Gufei Ka'ochel, El Haba Al Yada Mimena. That the Avera was responsible for creating something, but that is that something that was created, that was produced, is not gufa to'eva. And the paradigm for something which is al yada, but it's not gufe, is going to be Shabbos. In other words, the tafshil is not a result, it's not a to'eva in and of itself, it's just a result of an avera. But there's no to'eva in the tafshil, and we tried to explain that maybe Rashi means that since the same identical tavshil had been created the rest of the week without violating the Zman of Shabbos, it would have been mutter. That means that the only reason why this tavshil that was created on Shabbos is also is because it was Ba' al Yidei Avera. Masha'ekin, in the case of Bas V'chol, which is always also, the whole week long, the whole year round, that's called Gufa To'eva. The Tosfos is not happy. He says v'kasha. The lama lo yechashev bishul shel Shabbos to'eva gufa kamo bishul shel basa b'chala. Tosfos doesn't come up with our distinction. He's set on the fact that in both cases of bishul, whether it's basa b'chala, if you take raw food and you cook it on Shabbos, in both cases you've created a to'eva gufa. The object that's produced is a result of the bishul. So why not apply the principle and the yardstick of Toeva Gufa even to the case of Bishul and Shabbos? We tried to give an example from the fact that Bishul the rest of the week would not generate any Isur. It's only because of Shabbos. So it seems that the Shabbos is the violation, but it's not the creation of the Toeva.
I could see a nafkamina between the two in terms of somebody else can't eat Basa B'Cholov. But if somebody does something on Shabbos, maybe somebody else could eat it, even though it's Mevushal B'Shabbos.
Right, right.
So maybe there's
right, that's what we discussed earlier, In Mevushal B'Shabbos, it's only if the Averu is violent, whereas in case of Basa B'Cholov, even if it would be created Mimela, where the wind blew the Cholov and it fell into the Basa. So that's what we discussed before. So let's take a look at Tosfos' own approach. Vinira. So Tosfos is bothered by the same kash of Rashi, but he wants to come up with his own approach. He says, "Dahainu taima, the difference between basa b'cholov and all the rest here, starting with Shabbos, is habishul nikar." It's very, very similar to what we were trying to argue. You know, any time you see basa b'cholov, it's clear that there was a bishul that generated that basa b'cholov, and that bishul was something which the Torah considered a to'eva. Amal ma'isa Shabbos, ein nikar shenasa b'Shabbos. You know, you can't look at the cooked food and in and of itself identify it as something that was cooked on Shabbos. That's not called gufa to'eva. Now Tosfos is going to face a number of problems here because the Gemara wants to apply the principle of lo sochel kol toeva to other cases of Isur. But at least as far as Shabbos is concerned, Shabbos becomes now the paradigm for something that's not nikar, that it's not clear in the object that was produced, that it was produced as a result of some avera which the Torah finds repulsive. But basa b'cholov by definition is always nikar. It's always crystal clear that you violated the Torah's objection, or the object itself is objectionable. I believe, again, I can't promise you, that Tosfos is also operating within Rashi's frame of reference. He's also differentiating between toeva gufa and something that came through an avera, but Tosfos adds the element of nikar. How do I measure whether it's gufa toeva or whether it's al yidei isur nasa hadavar? And the answer is it nikar or is it not nikar? If it's nikar, then it's gufa toeva. And that we have in basa b'cholov. But in the case of ma'isa Shabbos, it's not nikar. It means it's only that the avera created this entity called the tavshil on Shabbos, but it's not that the gufa is a toeva. So I'm going to suggest that Tosfos and Rashi are not far away from each other. Now, I have here a footnote. He says that the achrona, but I think I'm going to read it, but I think it's more or less what we said ourselves. He says that basa b'cholov is called toeva gufa, whereas ma'isa Shabbos is not toeva gufa. But basa b'cholov, etzem hatav shel udover mitua b'enei haTorah, shekein osra al Yisrael litzar tav shel kazeh shel basa b'chol b'shum ponim in any situation. Ach, isur Shabbos ein gufa dover shenotzar mitua b'enei haTorah, sharei he, meaning the Torah itself, he tira. Kishu chol. Aval pula se yitzir b'Shabbos v'lvad hi hashem mitu eves b'enei haTorah. I mean, here he sounds like he's operating with like a briska chiluk between the maisa of the gavra and the heft itself. That what generates the isur in Shabbos is the maisa vera, and that remains a separate ma'isa gavra that's independent of the cheftza. The cheftza is not called toeva, but in the case of basa b'cholov, we have a cheftza of basa b'cholov which is metua. And no matter when or how it was created, it's always that combination of these two tamim of basa b'cholov that's metua. Now let's see if we can understand the next part of Tosfos. We left the last line and a half of Tosfos. Fectosis vi osov espinova shiluach akan de parach le minayu. What are we going to do? Oh, so 1 second. So we didn't get up to this Gemara. So before we get up to this Gemara, let's just ask the question about Harisha b'shar v'chamar yachtov and chasimas pi para. The Gemara had a havamina that would come under lo sochlu kol to'eva. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand that havamina in the light of what we distinguish between basa b'cholov and Shabbos. But the truth is that distinction between basa b'cholov and Shabbos is only after the Gemara establishes, based on the drasha of Kodesh Ilachem, that in the case of Maisa Shabbos, it's mutter. So we don't know that yet. Once we know that, now we can reject Choresh b'shar v'chamar yachtov and chosim pipara for the same reason that Maisa Shabbos was rejected. I'm not exactly sure why we need the Kal v'chomer per se. The Gemara formulates it as a Kal v'chomer. But leaving out the Kal v'chomer, just the logic is that you haven't created something, but rather you've used something as an avera. And that's what he writes here in this note in the name of the Achronim, that Kamochein b'charisha b'shar b'chamar yach chasimus pipara lo tiava Torah eles maisa hanhogas hashar v'chamar b'charisha o chasimus piapar b'disha. It means that the aver is in the maisa gavra. Not that you've produced something that is a toeva, because again, any other time you produce that, whether it be Zroim or Disha, without a Shar v'chamor, without Chasima, it would be mutter. It's only because you violated this Avera, that's why it's problematic. But there's nothing toeva in the result of it. And that's what he says, Acharisha v'Zroim, Acharish v'Zroim, Atzmam, Eino mitu avim. Sharia Torah hitira lasosam bofanim acherim. So it's interesting. He gives a whole list of who's who in the Achronim here. He's got the Gur Aryeh, Maram Shiv, Torah Chaim, Chasam Sofer, Lev Aryeh, Tiferes Yaakov, Rashash. Everybody seems to say the same yisod over here, that in Harisha we're not talking about creating something that in and of itself is a toeva, because the rest of the situations of Harisha would be mutter. But dafka, because of the maisa that he did, that's what generates the
yisod. How does Tosfos differentiate between kalayim and bishulim? Because that's kalayim is nikar. I would say kalayim is also nikar, and it's also. And it's not the maisa
right.
That does it.
So that's going to be the Gemara's next kash from Kalayim, right? That the Gemara thinks that Kalayim certainly should come under Toeva. And it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't operate or activate the principle of Shabbos over here. The Gemara has to come up with a separate drasha to be Matir Kalayim. Because in the case of Kalayim, it's always going to be this combination of two minim that's a Cheftza di Surah, and if it's Gufa Toeva. So we have to come up with some Matir where the Toeva is Matir. And that's going to be the last part of this Tosfos here that I didn't want to get into it yet, because we just have to know a little bit more about the sugya. So let's go on in the Gemara now at this point. I'm going to just put this on the side for a moment. So the Gemara asks the following. So he took two different meanings, Zroim, and the Torah says, Sod Chalotizra Kilayim, Dati Avti Lechohu, and the Gemara answers, Enochinami, you're right. The case of Klai Zroim is identical with basar b'chol. The heftz is mituav in and of itself in all situations. So we're going to need a separate drasha to be matir klai zroim. And what is this drasha? Midagoli rachmana legabi klai akerem. So again, the parasha of klai zroim is in kidoshim. The parasha of klai kerem is in kiteitze. And there the Torah says that the product of kilayim, in the case of Klai Akerem, not Klai Zroim, but Klai Akerem, means he plants produce, let's say grains, or perhaps legumes or vegetables, together with a vineyard in close proximity. And the Torah went out of its way to say that the product of such a growth, of such kilayim, is Asur Bana. Why did the Torah have to tell me that? Why couldn't the Torah just simply rely on the fact that it's Toeva? And the answer is that the Torah went out of its way to teach me that Klai Zroim is Mutar. There was no need to teach me that Klai Kerem is Asur. That would have been Asur as a derivative of Lo Sochal Kol Toeva, because here in Klai Kerem it's Gufa Toeva, like the case of Asur B'Cholov. So why did the Torah have to write Pentikdash, Pentukat Eish? This is a famous drasha in the Gemara, that Pentikdash means that you have to light it on fire. In other words, Klai Kerem are Asur B'Ano, and therefore there's no benefit you can get from them other than burning them. It says, Losizra Karmacha Kilayim Pentigdash Hamaleya. And at the end of the pasuk, it says, Hazera Shar Tizra Usvua Sakorem. And the meaning of this pasuk is that if he plants Kilayim in a vineyard, then the Gidul, that which grows, is going to have to be burned because it's Asur Bana. So in effect, we don't need this pasuk Pentikdash Hamaleya to teach me that Klai Akerem is Asur B'Ano. I could have derived it from Kol Toeva to the same extent that I derived Basar B'Cholov from Kol Toeva, and there's an exact parallel between the two. The answer is, why did the Torah have to tell me that Klai Akerem is Asur B'Ano Michlal in order to teach me that Klai Zroim Sharu, that the Torah specifically was Matir Klai Zroim? So logically, Klai Kerem and Klai Zroim would have been identical, and the same conclusion, like in Basar B'Cholov of Kol Shetiavti L'cha Rei Nesar B'Bal Tochal, would have applied to these cases of both Klai Kerem and Klai Zroim. But since the Torah went out of its way to say that Klai Kerem is Asur B'Ano, and the Torah had no need to do so, that's only justified if the Torah wanted to teach me that Klai Zroim are Mutar B'Ano. And that's the mute. Now the Gemara asks the following. Now Tosa is going to have all kashya. Maybe the Torah said Pentikdash Hamaleya in order to teach me that there's a separate mitzvah of Sreifa, because not every Yisra Ano is Chayv Sreifa. In which case we would have no extra superfluous words here to derive the exclusion of Klai Zroim and be matir them. That was Tosas' kasha. The Gemara has a different kasha, very similar style of kasha. The Gemara says, V'ema, perhaps the reason why the Torah had to tell me Pentikdash is to teach me that Klai Akerem is also as far as we can go with the Isra as far as we can go with it, meaning don't stop at Achila, but go even a step further in Hanah. That's the Chiddush that don't want to be Mechadish in Klai Akerem. Klai Zroim remains one step behind. Achila Asiri, Hanah Asharu. So the Miud here is only to tell me that Klai Zroim is Mutav Hanah, but it definitely remains an Isra Achila under the principle of Kol Shetiavti L'cha. Because the only reason why we didn't apply the principle of Kol Shetiavti L'cha Arev B'Bal Tochal to Klai Zroim is because of the superfluous pasuk in Kloy Kerem of Pentugash, but that was saying that that pasuk is coming to add an Isar Hanah and to emphasize and be machadish that the Isar Hanah is limited to Kloy Kerem, to the exclusion of Kloy Zeroyim, and therefore Kloy Zeroyim would be Asar V'Achila, but Mutar Hanah would be Asar V'Achila under the principle called Shetiavti Lecha, and it would be Mutar Hanah because of this miut of Pentugdash Hamalea, which appears in the parish of Kloy Kerem, to tell me Lafuke Kloy Zeroyim, which are only Asar V'Achila, not Asar V'Hanah. So again, even though we're working with the principle of Rabbi Avo that we mentioned, that any time the Torah prohibits achila, then hanah is included. So if we're taking Kol Yisroel now, according to this Hava Amina, and including it under the Pasuk of Socha called Tu'eva, it's also hanah. But the answer is, the Torah went out of its way to tell you that Kol Yisroel is also hanah, lafuke Kol Yisroel, which is mutav hanah. So the Gemara answers, is kashit, it is kush l'klai v'hema. Then, in finality, logically, you're absolutely correct. We could have come to the conclusion that klai Yisroel is mut is asur v'achila, but we have a hekesh between klai Yisroel and klai v'hema, and we're talking about harbas shnei mini v'hema. And the Torah says again in that same context where the Torah prohibits klai Yisroel, which is in Parshas Kiddoshim. So the Torah says, "Lo behem t'chalo sarvia kelayim," and the sefer sod t'chalo tizri kelayim. So we have in one pasuk, in one breath, the Torah prohibits harbas two minim of behemus and zriya of two minim of zroyim. And therefore, by virtue of this hekesh, ma behem t'cha Hayotzi bimenu muteres, af sodcha hayotzi bimenu mutter. Now this is very strange because in a hekesh you go in either direction. I don't know which is the malamed and which is the nilma. And in this hava mina we're holding that sod lo tizri kalayim is included under the iser of lo sochel kol toeva, kol shetiavti lecha, which generates an Isra Achila. There's no Isra Anah because we derive from Kloy Akerem that there's no Isra Anah, but insofar as there's an Isra Achila, why not say that this Isra Achila should teach us now that our boss Behemtecha should be an Isra Achila? So that, I think, is implicit in the Gemara's Kasha now. The Gemara says, Ukloy Behema Gufayu Minola. No, in order to set up this hekesh and be matir achila in the case of Kloy Zeroyim, you have to tell me that there's a heter achila in Kloy Behema. And again, Kloy Behema would be another classic case of Gufa Toeva, because he created this new Vlad as a result of crossbreeding two different minim of Behemos. So how do we know that that Vlad is mutter? And then you want to derive from that through the hekesh that Kloy Zeroyim is mutter. Why not apply the principle of Rav Ashi and Kloy Behema should be Osur, and once it's Osur Bachil, it'll be Osur Banah, and who had in the case of Zeroyim? Okay, in Zeroyim, maybe we couldn't derive or establish an Isra Anah because we have the Limud from Kloy Akeren, but certainly there should be an Isra Achila. So the Gemara now needs a separate drasha to prove that Kloy Akeren is Mutar Banah. And how do we know that? The Torah went out of its way to tell me that if you have Kloy Akerem, if you have Kloy Behema, so you mix two minim and you created a Vlad, you can't bring that Vlad on the Mizbeach. And that's a drasha back on Daf Lamed Ches, and this Masech the Sharo Kesev O'ez, Yerotza L'Karban Ishi Hashem, is Michlal de Lehejit Shari. I mean, if the Torah felt that Kloy Behema was Asur to Achilas Hejo, to Achilas Adam, then how much more so would it be possible to Mizbeach? I mean, then we have the principle of Kol Koshu Tmeili Adam is Tmeili Mizbeach, right? Bin Amutu Beficha, right? So therefore, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to teach me in the Pasuk Sharo Kesev O'ez Yeratzel Akomani Shashem that in the case of Kloy Behema, it's also like Rova? The answer is to be Mamayit hedjot, that as far as hedjot is concerned, it's mutar b'achila. And now the Gemara is going to ask the kasha of also v'es v'no. And that's where we have this last line in Tosfos, the also v'es v'no, the parachle. Where am I? So if loma de nikar bahem ha'iser, by Tosfos the sheet is that when is it considered gufa to'eva? Like the case of Basar B'chol, Lafuki, the cases of Shabbos and Chasima and Harish and all the others, there it's not Nikar Shu Asur. And Tosfos says that here it's Nikar. Now, exactly what he means, I guess he's talking about the Shechita itself. But how do you look at the Shechita and know that on this day there was a Shechita of the mother as well as the son? That I don't understand.
Okay. Because when in Gemara, when it talks about Bechoros, that the call goes out. When there's a call that goes out. When the mother is shechted, there's a call that kind of goes out. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the mother was shechted that day.
It's a call?
It's a call that goes out.
You know this from a sugya that there's a call?
Bechoros. I think it's Bechoros.
Oh, right.
If there's another behavior that's related to the one that was shechted that day, the call has to go out and say the mother was shechted earlier today.
That's what Tosfos means by me. That's what bothers me. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not saying I don't have a better shot.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, in the Nikar Lechor, as you look at the Chefter, you see it was created by Isser. Here the Shechita is an identical Shechita to any other Shechita, but it's got to be Nikar based on a call.